Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Grab a seat, get your Bibles out, and go with me to Mark chapter 5. We're not going to be in Mark chapter 5 for a long time. I just want to kind of open this up and talk about a couple of things. Title of tonight's message, if you're wanting to write something down, is miracles. Miracles literally are happening all around us all the time. And many times we see things and we see what's going on, we see the hand of God, and either we take it for granted or we don't recognize it, realize it. Sometimes we may write it off, oh, that's just a coincidence, or that was just something, you know, special, but that wasn't really. Could it have been? Could it really be? But I personally believe that there's a whole lot more power to our prayers, and there's a whole lot more strength in the church than we realize. It's easy to get down on the church, easy to say that we're not doing our job, easy to look around and get discouraged and disheartened when you look at the news media and you say, oh my goodness, look at what's going on in the Middle East, and look what's happening in Africa, and what's going on with the ozone layer and the weather systems and all that kind of stuff. Very easy to get discouraged. And yet, I believe that there is a power that is resident inside the church that's greater than we understand and greater than we're operating in currently. And I believe that our prayers have much more impact than we know. There was a time when we were in Bible college, and it was the last night we were going to be staying there, and we were about ready to travel home, and we had all our stuff packed up, and we kind of had like a last hurrah with the friends and the people that were going to Bible college, some of our coworkers, and we all congregated over at Pastor Luke's house. He had the biggest house because they had rented a duplex, and so that we wouldn't have fit in our apartment at the time. So we're all over there, we're hanging out, having our last hurrah, and wouldn't you know it, we were in the Midwest, and all of a sudden, the air sirens go off, you know, the tornado warning, you know, and we're all kind of sitting there looking at each other, and all the people from California are like, what's that? And so we flipped on the news, and sure enough, the report was coming that, this tornado headed towards where we were, and we're going, okay, what do we do? You know, and they're, oh, it should be fine. You know, usually it's just, you know, not a big deal. They can kind of track and see where it's going. And so we're watching the news. As we're watching the news, it says it's going to converge on this street and this major street. You know, right here, it's going to come through right there. And we said, well, wait a second, your house is right there on that corner. Wait, it's coming for us. And so, you know, all the Christians, we grabbed hands and even grabbed the non-Christians' hands from work that were there with us, and we grabbed their hands, and we started to pray down heaven. We started to believe God. We asked God for supernatural protection over us, that there wouldn't be any damage, that nothing would happen. As we're praying, I'm listening to the news report on the television behind me say, oh, well, that's weird. It looks like the tornado got caught in the river. It's going to go down around the city, not even touch anything in the city. Come on. See, the supernatural happens all around us, and our prayers have more power than we understand. I'm here to encourage you tonight, here to get you in faith tonight, because it's only by faith that you're going to receive a miracle from God. If you're in doubt, fear, and unbelief, don't expect anything. But the moment you cross over, the moment you start to believe God, the moment you start to ask God, and faith rises in your heart, now God says, I've got something to work with. I can move on that. Psalm chapter 40, verse 5 says, many, O Lord my God, everybody say many, are your wonderful works. You know what that word wonderful works really is referring to? The miraculous. Many are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. See, God is a supernatural God who desires to do supernatural things in our everyday lives. God wants to be intimately involved in all of our lives together. That's just from the creation. You can see that God is speaking light, and light was. God speaks the planets. God speaks the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom. But when it came time for man, what did God do? God knelt down, and he started to trace in the dirt. And he started to make the man. And what did he do? He breathed the breath of God into his nostrils. When he formed the woman, what did he do? He pulled from the man's side and he formed the woman. See, God wants to be intimately involved in what's going on in our lives. God is looking throughout the earth. God is watching for faith. God is wanting to move on our behalf. And there is an enemy out there. There are world systems out there that are coming against us all the time. But our God is a supernatural, miracle-working, powerful God who will intercede and who will do great and mighty and wonderful things. Psalm 72, verse 18 says, "Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things." That word "wondrous things" there is the miraculous. God only does wondrous things, only does mighty deeds. All God does. That's all day, every day, God. Wondrous deeds. Just got a little testimony in my box from this church. And in case you didn't know it, you're sitting next to a miracle right now. This church is a church of the exes. All of us in this church probably should have been dead. Anybody could say, "I should have been dead"? Anybody can say that? Look at this. You didn't even realize you were a walking miracle in this place tonight. Didn't realize you sat down next to a miracle tonight. I can safely say I should have been dead, okay? There were things that happened throughout my lifetime that I now looking back, you know, hindsight is 20/20. And you can look back and you can say, man, God was all over that situation. Even though that guy pulled a gun, nothing happened. Even though, my car was swerving onto the other side of the road, I closed my eyes and I said, "Jesus." And somehow I came out on the other side without a scratch. Cars didn't touch. Nothing happened. See, we can say that God is a miracle-working God, but I got this testimony in my box, and as I was reading over it, you know, at first I glanced at it. It was long, and you know, I was just, I got to read my message. I got to get into the Word tonight. I got to figure out where we're going, what we're doing, and it was almost as if God said, "Settle down, son. I want you to take a read here. I want you to spend some time with this," and so I kind of skimmed it. God said, "No, go back and look at it again," and as I went back and looked at it again, I started to realize, oh, my God. This person is a miracle. They were so despondent over their life. Series of events, unfortunate things, tragic things, things that should never happen to children. All this stuff led to somebody walking out on them. They were so in despair that they decided they were going to end it all, swallowed down a bunch of pills, took a drink of a beer, and slit their wrist and thought that they were going to just fall asleep. Woke up in the hospital. And didn't realize what was going on. 7 days later, they get out. Life didn't change after that. But they had heard that somebody had come, that there had been a police person that had come, and that policeman that had came on the scene brought someone on a ride-along, and that was the first call of the night. And so they were able to get them on an ambulance, able to get them to the hospital, and so there they were, and so they get out, and they just keep living their life until Easter rolls around. And they knew that they had to do something, and so they came here to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center on Easter. And from the moment they stepped in the building, their eyes were filled with tears, tears just streaming down their face. Pastor Jim gives the altar call. Their hands shoot straight up. They come down to the altar and they go back. Hold on, that's not even the best part of the story. I mean, that's exciting, but it's so cool what God was doing. And they get back into the room, and as they sit down in the room, their SPT comes and sits down with them and says, "Do you remember me?" She looks at her and says, "No, I don't remember you." She says, "I was on a ride-along one night, and the first call of the night, we came to your house. I haven't been able to get you out of my mind since then, and I've been praying for you ever since then. I'm going to be your SPT. Are you kidding me? Later on, she goes to Breaking Free, and there's the policeman in Breaking Free, and now they're all reunited together, and they're all having a good time, all getting healed, all getting restored. See, God is doing the miraculous all around us all the time. That's the God we serve. In fact, miracles are God's calling card. Did you know that? When Jesus showed up on the scene, and here's John the Baptist. John the Baptist knew who he was. Right? John the Baptist had spoken, "That's the one. That is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But then there came a time where John started to despair of life, and he was locked away in a prison, and he was wondering, did he really spend all his effort on the wrong thing? And so he sends messengers to Jesus, and he says, "Are you really the one, or should we wait for someone else?" And you know what Jesus sent back to him? He says, "Boys, send back to John my calling card. Tell him that the lame are walking, that the blind can see, that miracles, signs, and wonders are being done." See, that is God's calling card. Psalm 75, verse 1 says, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wondrous works declare that your name is near. Isn't that awesome? Your wondrous works, your miracles, your wonders declare something. It's your calling card that your name is near. See, we've been given that name which is above every name. At that name, every knee shall bow. And at that name, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. At that name, demons flee. At that name, sickness and oppression ceases. At that name that God has given us, no other name given on heaven or on earth by which we must be saved except the name of Jesus. And at that name, there's miracle-working power that comes. Acts chapter 2, verse 22, the apostle is preaching the first sermon on the day of Pentecost. And he says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by what? Miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. See, God approved Jesus' life. God said, this is the one. He put his stamp on him. How? Miracles. The fact that he showed up, he said, what? Believe the works at least. If you don't believe it, at least believe the works. Look around you. This is God's calling card. Only God can do what I'm doing. See, doubt will kill miracles. Doubt will kill miracles. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 58, Jesus goes to his own country. They look at him and they go, wait a second, this is Jesus. This is that little boy that grew up in the carpenter's house. We know him. We know his family. They're all still here with us. Where's he been? What's he doing? And they doubted him. Matthew chapter 13, verse 58 says, now he did not do many mighty works there because of their what? Unbelief. Didn't believe in him. Didn't believe he could do it. They doubted him. And he couldn't do many mighty works there. Couldn't do many miracles there. Because they had unbelief. So if doubt will kill miracles, that means that faith is the breeding ground for miracles. Are you listening? That's why I said what I said about faith earlier, that it's by faith that we receive. It's by faith that we can work a miracle. It's by faith that we can receive the miracle. It's by faith that God now moves on the earth. See, if doubt stops it, faith is the green light. Okay, let's go. Let me show this to you in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? See, if you start to doubt God's ability, well, he did it then, does he want to do it now? Well, is there anything too hard for God? Just ask yourself that question. God may be providing for them over there, but does God want to provide for me? Well, that's not the question. Is there anything too hard for God? Well, I know that God can heal, but does he really want to heal? Is there anything too hard for God? See, the answer to that is an easy and quick no. No, nothing's too hard for God. It's not too hard for God. God, listen, God is willing, God is ready, God is able, and there is nothing too hard for God. Now, if you're wondering when I was going to get to Mark chapter 5, we're going to get to Mark chapter 5 right now. A man by the name of Jairus, he's the ruler of a synagogue, he's the leader, comes to Jesus, says, Jesus, my daughter is sick. Can you come and heal her? Jesus says, I'll go with you. As they're going on the way, something happens. There's a crowd pressing Jesus. People are all around him. People are trying to get his attention. Things are happening. Jesus is just trying to move on so he can go heal this sick little girl. As he's going, all of a sudden, he says, whoa, 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 wait a second. Stop, everyone, stop. Power just went out from me. Somebody touched me. The disciples are going, are you kidding, Jesus? You know, look at all these people thronging you. I mean, they're all over you, Jesus. You're saying someone touched. Of course someone touched. I'm touching you. I'm just standing here, you know. How can you say? He says, no, no, something happened. And there was a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years, came up behind Jesus, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. What? Faith. She believed that something would happen if she could just touch the hem. And so here she is. She touches the hem and she can feel in herself that she is healed. Suffered for years at the hands of many doctors. They couldn't do anything for her. And so here she is. She touches the hem of his garment. Now she's completely and totally healed. She got her miracle, and she was just going to quietly move on and not bug Jesus. But what happens? Jesus says, stop! Someone touched me. I can almost picture the woman like. So the Bible says she fell down before him and declared to him all that had happened. Lord, I've suffered. Lord, you healed me. Lord, you're miraculous. Lord, you're amazing. You are the Messiah. I mean, just declared to him everything, told him the whole story. Now, while this is going on, somebody comes up to Jairus from his household and says, hey, don't bother the master. In fact, let's read it. Mark chapter 5, verse number 35. While he was still speaking. So, listen, if you're Jairus, you're going, this is all wonderful. This is great. I'm excited about the miracle that happened for this woman. That's building faith for my daughter because I know he's going to come heal her. But can we move this along? While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? In other words, they only had faith for Jesus to heal her while she was sick and still alive. They didn't have faith for Jesus to raise her from the dead and heal her. But let me ask you a question, church. When something ends, when something dies, is anything too hard for God? No. So what is Jesus' response? Remember, doubt kills the miracles, but faith is the breeding ground for miracles. Look at what Jesus responds. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken. Now remember, Jesus was speaking, but while he's speaking, he's listening. And he hears a conversation. So as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Don't be afraid, only believe. Just get in faith. Now the story goes on that Jesus goes down to the ruler of the synagogue's house. All the people are wailing. He puts them all on. He says, you all got to go, right? He just shuffles them out, right? He goes in. He brings three faith-filled friends with him, right? And the little girl's parents, because they are believing for their daughter to be raised up and to be healed. So he has an atmosphere of faith now. And he gets down and he says, little girl, I say to you, arise. And she gets up and she's hungry and he says, feed the little girl. Man, go for it. Feed your miracle right now. Keep encouraging it. Keep cultivating it. Keep going with it. Raise that little girl up because she is a miracle. What does this mean to us tonight? Tonight, some of you have doubted God. You need a miracle. And you know exactly when I say you need a miracle, what that miracle is. Because you've been believing God, you have asked, you have prayed, you have waited. But time, discouragement, closed doors, that situation died. People came to you and said, why trouble the master any longer? It's over. The season is past. The time is over. It's not going to happen. Some of you have had terrible things spoken over you by friends and family members, people that you trusted. Some of you guys, maybe like the woman with the issue of blood, you've been for years at the doctor's office and you've been going after it and you've been trying to figure it out and saying, God, I'm believing you for the supernatural, but I don't want to be stupid in the natural and not do anything. So you've been going and you've been doing and you've been getting bad report after bad report after bad report after bad report. I'm here to tell you tonight, is anything too hard for your God? Come on, somebody, is anything too hard for your God? Is anything too hard for your God? Then if not, then let's believe God tonight for miracles. Where's my team? Where's my team? Come on up, team. All right, they stayed close. Praise the Lord. And I want you just to get ready to receive. I believe that faith is high, and I believe that God is going to do some miracles tonight. So we're going to sing. We're going to believe God. We're going to allow the Spirit of God to come and move, and we're going to start to believe God in some areas, start to believe God for some miracles. Come on, guys. Let's just worship the Lord for a moment. Place your heart on the Lord. You want to stand in the presence of God. Let's get ready to receive. Get yourself in a position. Get your heart ready to believe God for a miracle tonight.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.